Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where we'll begin this morning. Beginning in verse 3 of Deuteronomy 6, reads, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the great things that you have done for us, Lord. We pray that you would help us, that we would not forget your greatness to us, Lord, your mercy and your grace to us, Lord. Just pray that we would be able to remember these things, Lord, and continue throughout the days to come, that we would never forget. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're coming upon a time of year in which we are reminded to remember. Specifically, we're reminded to remember the sacrifice of those who fought in the service of our country, who gave up the comforts of home, time with families, gave up, many of them, their physical and mental health, and many gave up their lives for our freedoms. And we want to honor them. We think of the freedoms that we enjoy, even the freedom that we are exercising this morning of being able to worship freely. We know that in many other nations they don't have that freedom, and we can be very thankful to God for that. And every year when we have Remembrance Day, we see three words that are repeated very often, and those are the words, "lest we forget." And that phrase was adopted into kind of the tradition of Remembrance Day, and it was based upon a poem by Rudyard Kipling that was given during the Diamond Jubilee of Queen Victoria in 1897. And just a few verses of it says, "God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine, Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. The tumult and the shouting dies, the captain and the kings depart. Still stands thine ancient sacrifice, and humble and a contrite heart. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget." And so we see that principle that he gave, and it was something that Rudyard Kipling, he had actually had another poem he was going to present to the Queen, but he chose this one, and it was the thought that even though the British Empire was at the height of its ascendancy, that it was the sun did not set on the British Empire, it was so vast, it was a warning that if they were to forget, that it would, just as all the other nations had forgot God, that it would fall away. And we see the testimony to that in some ways, how that the British Empire is certainly not as it was. And it is a sad thing in many ways that England has become a great mission field in many ways of churches getting started over there. But it's something that we learn from this idea of lest we forget, and we understand as we study this passage here in Deuteronomy and other passages in the Scriptures that this was kind of where he got his inspiration from that. And that's what we want to dwell upon this morning, is this thought that lest we forget, that it is a principle of His Word, and it's something that the Lord, as we study His Scriptures, He shows us who He is, and then so often He shows us who we are. He shows us our weaknesses. He warns us that you're going to have trouble with this, and he reminds us of different things. And it is something that we realize as people that we are quick to forget many ways. That I know just with whether it's short-term memory or long-term memory, there's so much that we find so easy to forget. Whether it's we're supposed to run an errand and we forget to do it, or whether it's something that happened a long time ago. And I know the kids so often they want me to tell them a story, and so then I have to try to. And it always has to be a new story because they've heard the old ones before. And so I have to try to run through the cogs of my mind trying to remember different things that happened when I was a child. And so it is something that we have a tendency. And we see that specifically with the children of Israel. And we see from this passage that the Lord warned them, "Beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." And we see in their history that that's exactly what did happen. If you turn with me to Psalm 106... Psalm 106, beginning in verse 7. It says, "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked them at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated him, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies, there was not one of them left. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul." That we find that again and again with the children of Israel, that the Lord would deliver them, but then as soon as something went bad, then they were, "Well, what's going on?" And they'd complain against Moses and against God, that they would be thankful for it for a time, but then as things progressed, that they soon forgot his works. That it is, and it is something that we always can look at the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, and we just can ask, "Well, what was their problem? Like, why didn't they get it? It should have been so clear." But we realize that the Lord shows them to us in the way that they acted, and He's uses them as a demonstration that we can act the same way if we're not careful, if we're not vigilant as well, and we need to be watching. And we understand that usually the time that when we forget the Lord and the things He has done, it happens when everything is going good. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and it's the sense that we have even with prayer, that when we have a need, we pray to the Lord. We have a petition to put before Him. We need help, and we cry out to Him. But yet, it's so easy when everything's going good, and it doesn't seem that we have any needs, that we don't pray as we ought to. And we understand that prayer is supposed to be where we foster a relationship with the Lord, that even if we don't have anything that we need, that we can thank Him for what He's given, that we can spend time in fellowship with Him. But it is our human tendency that we tend to forget, and we tend not to pray as we ought. And we see this in Psalm chapter 8, beginning in verse 10. The Lord says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. And so we understand this principle that when we've eaten and are full, that we have much, that we're prosperous, that we enjoy these blessings, but we forget the one who blessed us with them. That we lose sight of that, and we get lifted up and we say, well, it's my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. And we have to testify, no, he's the one that gives thee power to get well. And it is the sense that we have even in the history of our nation. We think of during the Great Depression and other times, how people turned to the Lord, that it was something that seemed that the churches were packed and that they thrived, and even through the wars. But it is something in previous generations where we've enjoyed peace and prosperity, that it seems that churches all over are dwindling, that it is not as important as it once was. And it is because we have our needs met, that we don't need to seek out the Lord, it would seem. But we realize that we always need the Lord, that we always need Him to keep us steady, and that all the physical blessings that we have in this world, they don't amount to much if we don't have the Lord, if we have that emptiness. And that's what the Lord spoke of in Psalm 106, where He said He gave them their request, but He sent leanness unto their soul. That we can have that we can have so much physically, materially, but yet have so little spiritually, and we're the worse for it. And we understand the principle as well, that if we do forget the Lord, that it is to our detriment, it is to our danger, that the Lord said that if they would forget the Lord their God, He said, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient of the voice of the Lord your God. And we understand that as individuals and as nations, that we need to remember the Lord. That it speaks in Psalm 9:17, it says, the heathen shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And we do not want that to be true of our nation. We pray for our nation that to that end, that God would be remembered, that He would not be forgotten. And so it is a sense that as a nation and individually, that we need to remember the Lord, that we need to remember who He is, that He is our Creator, that He is the one that has given us life. As Daniel spoke to Belshazzar, he said that God in whom thy breath is, that we understand the frailty of our own lives. We know that He holds our life in our hands, that He created everything around us. Everything we have comes from Him. We understand that He is a holy and a righteous God, that hates sin, that does not want it to be a part of our lives, not because He wants to take away our fun, because He knows it's harmful to us. It'll take away our joy. It'll take away our true happiness. And He wants to show us what's right and wrong for our own sake, for our own good. And we realize that He is a God of love, a God that is merciful, that even though many forget Him, many ignore Him, many live as if He didn't exist, that He still loves them, that He sends the rain upon the just and upon the unjust. And we see His goodness that's extended. And we see, above all, the greatness of His provision of salvation for each of us, that He sent His Son to die for our sins, that He gave the ultimate sacrifice, that God the Father gave what was more valuable to Him than anything else that He possessed, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That we know that. And we think of Jesus Christ, of how He gave up so much for us on our behalf, that He left the glories of heaven, came down, and the glory of God was encompassed in a body of flesh. Of how you think how limiting that would be, of how in some ways for God, that you could think of it even being demeaning for Him in some ways, but yet He was willing to do that. That it speaks in the Psalms of how the Lord has to humble Himself to behold the things of earth, and now He was in a body with us, and that He suffered, that He had not a place to lay his head, that he lived a life of poverty in many ways, that he was poor so that we might be made rich, that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that he became a servant for us, that he ministered to our needs, and he gave his life a ransom for many. And it's something that we want to always remember, what the Lord did on the cross, to never forget that. We understand the whole principle of the one of the ordinances that the church is to fulfill is the Lord's Supper, where it's to be done in remembrance of Him, that we are to do that, that we are to be reminded again and again. And we realize that in our own lives that it's important that we remember where we were before we got saved, the direction we are headed, the end that we were expecting. And yet when the Lord sent someone along into our lives that shared the gospel with us, and when we trusted in Christ as Savior, where how greatly things have changed, where we are now from where we could have been, that we never forget that. We never take that for granted. We never cease to thank the Lord each day for what He has done, because it is a great thing. And so we want to realize who God is, remember what He has done for us, and remember what He expects of us as His people, that we are the people and the sheep of His pasture, that He has redeemed us, and He has called us out to be zealous of good works. He's called us out to be an obedient people, a thankful people, a people of faith, a people of virtue, that He wants us to follow Him, to be witnesses for Him, to be an example to Him to others, and to share His truth with others. And we understand that as He gave so much for us, as He sacrificed so much on our behalf, that we are willing to give our very lives to Him. We see this principle in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that is a thought that if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has given His life for me, then no sacrifice that I make is not unreasonable for me to give to Him. And that is our reasonable service, that as He has done so much, that we are willing to give for Him. That we're willing even to, as we love Him, as we serve Him, that we're willing even to sacrifice for others, that we give of ourselves to minister to others' needs, that we sometimes trying to help someone can be an inconvenience, sometimes trying to witness and share and try to instruct someone that's a young person in Christ that isn't learning very quickly or seems to be stubborn, that it can be a nuisance, but it is something that's worth doing for the Lord. We see in that Jesus spoke in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And it is that thought that Jesus did for us, that He laid down His life for us, and it is that same thought that as He did that for us, that we would be willing to have that same love for others, that we would lay down our life for those in need, that we would be willing to give of our lives to share the gospel with others. And so we see this importance of that we are not to forget, but it's something that we realize that it is a weakness of us as humans, that it is our tendency. And so we wonder, well, how do I keep myself from forgetting? How do I remember? And we see that given in that passage that we read at the beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 6. That the Lord was instructing them, trying to give them the key to keeping faithful so that they would not forget. And He says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And so we see how from this that we learn that we realize that we are to seek to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, that we examine ourselves daily. We realize that we can look at ourselves, well, is there part of my heart, part of my soul, part of my might that I'm not giving to the Lord, that I haven't given over to Him? That we each day we try to draw closer to Him, and that we seek to have the Lord. It says, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." We think of how it says, "I shall hide the Lord's word in my heart." Now I can't remember the way it goes. It's Psalm 119 and verse 11. It says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." That it's something that we value the word of God, that we memorize it, we study it, we apply it to our lives. That it is something that we want to do that, and it's something that we have the sense that we don't want to just have it in our heads, that we can recite it, but we have it in our hearts as well. That everything He says, that we apply it to our lives, that we seek to fulfill what the Lord has for us to do. And it says that we shall teach them diligently unto thy children, shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. That this principle that we are to teach them to the next generation, that it is so that they would not forget and so that we would not forget. And it says that we're to talk about them when we're sitting, when we're walking, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. That every part of our day that we're talking about it, that we're reciting what God has done, that we see that how it's all encompassing, that when we're sitting in thine house, whether it's at the dinner table or whether we're just visiting, when we walk by the way, that when we're traveling, nowadays we have cars to drive in, but it's something that even when we're driving we can speak of what the Lord has done. And before we go to bed each night, and the first thing when we rise up in the morning, that we speak of it. And it is a principle that we have through the Scriptures, that is what we're to do, that through from generation to generation that we're to pass it along. And we see this principle in Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78 and verse 5, it says, Psalm 78, 5, "For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare unto their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." And so that is the sense that we are to teach the generation that comes, so that they can continue to teach. And we see the principle in Deuteronomy 6 where it says that you shall bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it's something that we understand from Judaism, that they took this very literally, that if you see pictures of Orthodox Jewish people, that when they're praying, that they have these little boxes on their wrists and on their forehead. They're called phylacteries, and they're taking it literally, that there's little pieces of Scripture within those boxes, and that they're to keep on. And upon the posts of the house is the idea that they have, it's called a mezuzah. It's a little piece of Scripture that in a Jewish house that you'll be able to tell that it's a Jewish house, because they have that little piece of Scripture on the door just as you come in and out of the house. And it's that thought that they take it very literally, but we're to understand it in that sense, that it's supposed to always be in front of us. That it's just as when you're trying to remember, you have like a post-it note or something out there, so that you're hoping that as you walk out the door that you remember that. And it's the same sense that the Lord, He knows our weakness, He knows our forgetfulness, and He wants to help us, and that's what he's giving to us is these ways that we can learn not to forget. Because it is to our great detriment if we do, that the Lord has done such a great, many great things for us. We do not ever want to be at a point where we forget Him, where we take Him for granted, where we are ungrateful for all that He has done, and we have a mindset or a thought of, well, what has God done for me lately? That we realize all that He has done, just the fact that He gave us a new day to enjoy is a blessing enough. And so may the Lord help us that we would not forget Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You once again for Your mercy and grace to us. We just pray that You would bless us, Lord. We ask Your forgiveness for our frailties, Lord, how soon we are to forget things, and so often what's very important, Lord. We just pray that You would be merciful unto us and bless us this day. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd all stand with me, and we'll turn to number 120 and sing Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me, hymn 120. On the first, Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown ways before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from Thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. As a mother stills her child, Thou canst touch the ocean wild. Boisterous waves obey Thy will. When Thou saidst to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me.